down Kennedy, feeling like a boss. Pinky ring on, got me looking like a don. Riding through the town, paint gloss on the car.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HUD Post Podcast. My name is Willie Gonza, and today we have a special guest. So he is a community leader, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and a proud Jersey City resident. Give it up for Siraj Kaufman.
What up, Will?
How you doing today?
Listen, that was a great introduction, but I don't live in Jersey City anymore, so I got to correct you right off the back on that one.
No.
You're good.
Once you grew up here, though, correct?
No, born and raised, but listen, this is what I tell people. I basically live in Jersey City and sleep at my house.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. If you do my time frame, my hours are in Jersey City, I just go home to sleep. That's all. I do everything else in Jersey City.
Yeah, there you go. So with that being said, what was it like for you growing up in Jersey City?
It sure as hell didn't look like what it looks like now. Like, Jersey City was not Jersey City, man. Like, even this place that we're doing the actual podcast in, this was an old factory. It didn't look like this. But, you know, I'll show my age. I was born in the 80s. Well, I was born in 1980 at the old Margaret Haig, the original medical center. And, you know, I grew up in the projects of Jersey City, so I grew up in the Marion Projects not too far from here. Mm. And Jersey City was a lot different than what it is today. I'll say that much.
Wow. And tell us, like, what was a young Siraj like?
Wow, that's where we're going with it, right? Wow. See, I don't get that question a lot at all when I do interviews. Siraj was a knucklehead. That's okay. Siraj was a knucklehead who thought that, you know, no one could tell him nothing. He thought that he could do whatever he wanted to do and got into some trouble sometimes. You know what I mean? That was young Siraj.
All right. So night and day to now, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody knows this, but just in case they don't, Siraj is the owner of the Sneaker Room on Central Avenue in Jersey City. Now, were you always into sneakers growing up?
No, not at all, man. I remember my story. Everybody always asks me what got me into sneakers. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, like, growing up in the projects, sneakers was that wow. Like, if you had a fresh pair of white-on-white Air Force Ones, you was there. If you had a pair of Jordans, oh, man, you made it. And I didn't have none of them. So mm-hmm. It was like, you know, I grew up loving shoes, just not being able to afford them. And like, I remember, like, my story is I was on Black Ink on VH1 and Caesar did a tattoo on my leg. And the story was all about sneakers. And I told him my story that day. I was like, I remember it was 92. The Jordan Bordeaux 7s came out. That was the one that he was in the video with Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson in the video. And I was like, yo, Ma, I need these. I need these. And she was like, how much are they? And I was like, are they like 120, 130? She was like, our rent is 110. Do the math. So, like, you know, like, it was like, didn't get the shoes. So I grew up with a love for shoes, just didn't have them, when I was coming up.
Gotcha. And then, so you've been around since 2006, the Sneaker Room, correct?
Yeah, Sneaker Room. The first store started in 2006.
Okay.
Damn, 20 years. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a long time. Congratulations, like, okay, man. Give them a round of applause, because that's
here.
Not easy
we're
to stay
here.
Open,
we're
you
still
know?
Here.
So what made you say, okay, I'm going to open up a sneaker store?
Damn, we're going to go into, like, we really, like, how long is this podcast? Like,
we have about, an hour,
okay.
Right?
Oh, okay, so then we can go into the real story. All right, so a lot of people don't know the true story of Sneaker Room. A lot of people just think, like, wow, this guy just popped overnight and became a sneaker guy. So circle back, 2005, my wife is pregnant with my second son. I'm working at a water company in Jersey City in Liberty State Park called Snowbird Water, and I'm a dispatcher. So that's what I'm doing, whatever. Wifey gets sick. So wifey had, she was having headaches for a couple weeks, wound up in the hospital, wound up having a blood clot in her head, having a stroke. We went through a very big turmoil. Yeah, it was really crazy. So at that point, I took, you know, the New Jersey family leave. So I took some time off to, you know, take care of my mom. Take care of my wife. The reason why I say my mom is, as my son is born February 4th, 2006. I'm about to go back to work, you know, around Valentine's Day. And I go back to work on Valentine's Day and they eliminated my position. Hmm. Mind you, you're supposed to, you know, if you take this family leave, you're supposed to come back to a position. So now I got a newborn son, a 6-year-old, a wife who's still healing, and I got no job. So I'm like, okay. So then me and my mom together had both lost a lot of weight going to Weight Watchers. So mind you, my mom is 62 years old and I'm like, oh, she's doing great at 62. She's losing 100 pounds. So my mom had a cyst in her mouth And come to find out, on my birthday, we're having dinner at my house. The dentist calls and says, you got to come into the office. And I go to the office with her. And they say, listen, it's cancerous, but it's not a cancer that forms in the mouth. So it's spread. So the next day, we're at the hospital. She gets the PET scan. And basically, we found out that she had colon cancer. Stage 4. And there's nothing they could do. And like, it's kind of crazy because think about how the world works and how God works. Got laid off from my job or fired, whatever you want to call it. Now my mom is sick. So now I spend the next 3 months with my mother, you know, who's going through colon cancer. We set up hospice at my house and everything. And then it's funny, but it's not funny, but when my mom set up hospice at my house, we had a third bedroom. And basically I had like maybe like 17 or 18 pairs of sneakers that I started buying as I was working and having a job. And she goes, as we moved all that stuff out to set up the bed, she goes, I'm sorry, I took over your sneaker room.
Wow.
Okay. So then mom passes away May 25th, 2006. You're going to make me cry, Will. I wasn't planning on this, but mom passed away May 25th, 2006. I get a box, my hair standing up because this is a crazy story. I get a box in the mail in July of 2006, and it's one piece of Nike stock framed. And it says, to Siraj, a piece of Nike you won't wear out, love mom. And I even have it inscribed under her portrait. The verbiage is right there, exactly what it says. Like, I never thought I'd have a company's name on my body, but that's how much it means to me. So I'm like, went to my dad, he knew nothing about it, tried to figure it out, went to my aunt, and she was like, your mom knew how much you love Nike, she wanted to leave you something. So I still own that one piece of Nike stock. Like, I still get my check every quarter. You know, it used to be a couple dollars. Now it's like 30 cents. But, you know, it goes up and down. But what happened was I'm, like, trying to figure out life. And I'm like, damn, what do I do? I got no college degree. I only have a high school diploma. I have, you know, experience as a dispatcher. But, like, what do I want to do? And I was like, yo, you know, sneakers. And at 2006 was, like, just when it was starting to come up, like, reselling and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, let's open a store. So I went to my pops and I'm like, yo, dad, like, I need a loan. And he's like, yeah, I don't really got it. And he was like, how much you want? And I was like, I need 15 grand. He's like, all right. You know, he's like, let's do it. So he borrowed 15 grand and he gave me 15 grand. I rented a small little 300 square foot store down on Brunswick Street, 203 Brunswick Street in Jersey City. Built this little store, all IKEA shelves, nothing custom, you know, like did the whole cheap way. Started going to like Foot Lockers, started going like out of the country to like Mexico, Canada, meeting people and saying, hey, I want to buy shoes from you and flip them. So I started doing that. And that's where Sneaker Room came from. Sneaker Room started on my mom sending me this package after she had passed away. So it's almost like from beyond the grave that got me into sneakers. And then I did that for 2 years. And let me tell you, 2006, yeah, there was no resale game because it hadn't started yet. So, like, I was buying shoes for $175, trying to flip them for $200. So you do the math. Like, $25, think about how many you have to sell to try to. So I did it for, like, 2 years, and I was like, yo, I can't do this no more. Like, I'm losing. And I wound up closing the store in about 2008, 2009-ish. And I went to work at a store that's no longer there called KD's. Up in Greenville, up on Martin Luther King, actually right where the new City Hall annex is, right there, that building next to it. And I worked there for about a year and a half, and they were working on another store in Newark. So while they were working on the store in Newark, they were like, yo, why don't you go out there and be an assistant manager for that store? Because they had a really good guy, Tahir, great guy, great manager. He knew his stuff. And they were like, why don't you do that? So I was like, all right. But while I was waiting for them to build the store, I started going to the Nike meetings, started meeting people at Adidas, started, you know, learning the actual business. And from there, I went to work for them in Newark. It was called the Sixth Borough. If you know about Jersey, it was on Clinton Ave. It was an old Clinton menswear. So you know I earned my stripes. Just so you know I earned my stripes. Like, veteran right here. If you can work on Clinton Avenue, you're a Jersey veteran. And while I did that for about a year and a half, I started meeting the right people. And they were like, yo, Raj, like, why don't you do this on your own? And I really didn't have the bread to do it on my own. Like, I was still trying to, you know, come up. And basically, I wound up getting a partner. They wound up putting up the bread. We wound up getting a Nike account. We opened up a store in Montclair. It was called Takeover. And basically, I started doing that. And then we had opened up actually a second location in Jersey City on Central Avenue called Takeover. And what happened was, you know, originally, like, remember, my store was Sneaker Room. The reason why I went to Takeover was because of that story. And my mom named the store by saying I didn't want to take over your Sneaker Room. That's why I used that name. I didn't want to give that to someone else, even in a partnership. Like, that's my pride and joy.
Yeah, it's very personal.
So, you know, so we went to Takeover. And, you know, listen, as a lot of people know, partnerships are not always what they, you know, what they seem to be, you know, on both parties. It doesn't, I'm not going to throw shade on one person. It's, you know, two people just maybe just don't click.
Two alphas clashing.
Yeah. Or, you know, some people think another way. Some people think one way. So I did that for about a year and a half, about year and a half, 2 years. And I was just like, you know what? Let's separate. And he was like, well, I want, you know, which store do you want? And I was like, oh, you know, I want Jersey City. Put up a little fight. But finally I won, you know, and I took Jersey City and he kept Montclair. And I, once I got to back to Jersey City, it was my store right on Central Avenue. It was 267 Central, right across from Kennedy and the police station. And again, only like 1,000 square feet. But once I did that and I separated, I changed it back to Sneaker Room. And that's where the story just started going like this. And we just, you know, we've been on a very good trajectory. It's a little bit down right now. Economy's not that good. You know, people are not shopping as it was. But it really is like, and I tell people this all the time, it really is a Cinderella story. Because like, you know, a whole movie Cinderella is based on that glass slipper. This whole story that I have and everything that we do in the community, philanthropy and everything, is based on that one sneaker stock coming and it turning into something. So I know you asked me a small question. I gave you a big answer. But
no, listen.
So it's really crazy.
Listen, so thank you for sharing those stories with us, because I always like to ask questions like that. Because everybody sees you as the successful entrepreneur and community leader.
Nobody sees the foreclosure I lost my first house to for the business.
Nobody sees the, what it took to build that strong foundation, you know?
100%. Well, that's the thing I think in this world is everybody just focuses, and especially with kids. Like, I'm in schools all the time talking to kids. Everybody only focuses on what they see on Instagram, what they see on, you know, in the newspaper, what they see on TV. And of course, all you do is put out your positives.
Yeah. It's a highlight reel.
Yes.
It's not reality. And people, and I think that that's why a lot of relationships don't last.
Yes.
A lot of people like give up on business
yes.
too soon, is that they keep seeing this, all the glitz and glamour of everything, but
1,000%.
They don't understand the work that it takes behind all of it, including
But also they don't see that an analogy that I use a lot is like this. Basically, when you play baseball, you get 3 strikes and you're out, right? In life, you get as many strikes as you want until you're out. It's when you stop swinging
that you truly lose. Yeah.
That's my analogy. And that's what I tell kids. I'm like, guys, I'm like, understand, like, listen, I'm still swinging. Like, I still haven't got to where I want to be. So like, you guys, they just give up. And the world makes it where if you don't do good and you're not, you know, you're not successful in your first year, oh, I'm giving this up. Like, I'm done.
Exactly.
And it's like, yo, Rome wasn't built overnight. So like, what are we doing?
How many times is it? It's okay to reinvent yourself. And
1,000%.
How many times you have to reinvent yourself? Like, look what you said. I mean, you started the Sneaker Room, then it failed. You had to look elsewhere because, I mean, you got bills to pay. You got a family to take care of.
Bro, hardest thing ever was going to my Puerto Rican wife and telling her I lost our first house in foreclosure because of my business ideas.
Oh, man.
Like, bro, I thought, like, listen, my wife, Melody, everybody knows her. She's always out and about. She's there. But let me tell you, if that's not a ride or die, like, that's when I thought, like, when I went home and said that's like worse. Dude, listen, that's worse than cheating. I lost your house. Like, what do you tell a woman? And let me tell you, she was like, all right, cool. Like, what are we doing next? So, like, you know, even she has that hustler mentality, like, and let me tell you, a lot of people don't know this, and I don't say this enough, but I'll say this here, because it's really good for people out there to know, not only about me, but just in life. Like, have a partner that has a worth. Like, my wife, like, everybody thinks that my wife just chills at home, and she, you know, she just drives a nice car, and that, my wife has a full-time job. She's been a career woman since our kids were born. She, you know, went back to school. She beat our kids to college, and she made sure, because she, you know, we had our first son when she was, you know, graduating high school. But she beat our kids. She got her bachelor's, then she went back, got her master's. So, like, you know, like, I tell her all the time, I'm like, when I go to schools and they hear me talk, I'm like, yo, but hold on. Like, my wife doesn't like the limelight, but I'm like, listen to this story, girls. Like, you could do this stuff too, because that's what it's about.
Yeah. No, it's I always preach it. I mean, like, it's very important who you marry, who you end up with, because life, I mean, as you know, life is ups and downs.
But it's even important, it's just about your circle of friends.
Yeah.
About your community that's around you. About, like, okay, look at HuddPost, even about the organizations that you associate yourself with. You get what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people just don't see that. They just want a large crowd around them, not realizing that a large crowd doesn't necessarily mean it's a good crowd.
Yeah.
And that goes for everything. Friendship, you know.
Quality over quantity.
100%. 100%. Best saying ever.
Yeah. And I think that it's like when you choose a partner, you choose your friends, you know, you need to make sure that they have the same
partner.
You have to make sure they have that same mentality, that everyone's on the same page, because life is ups and downs and everything has their trials and tribulations. And a lot of the times, you know, when everything's good, everything's great and everything's just, you know.
But the problem is a lot of people are afraid to be real. That's the real truth. Because people, when they meet you, and if they want to be associated with you, let's just say, they try to tell you and say what you want to hear. They try to tell you what they like, different organizations. They try to tell you why they think it would be a good collaboration, let's just say. But they're not necessarily being truthful. They're just seeing, they know who you are, so they know that's what you want to hear. And that's not really what they're about. So you wind up like, oh yeah, we do have the same beliefs. We do have the same things. And then you're like, oh wait, no, we don't. And again, it's all, I'll give you a prime example, no names. One time we did a sponsorship for an event, and I, you know, we sponsor a lot of events, just like people sponsor our events. And it wasn't disclosed to us who were the other sponsors. So what happened is I go to the event, you know, you walk in, there's a step and repeat, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, different sponsors. Again, no names or nothing. And I, you know, but one of the sponsors right next to Sneaker Room was a cannabis company. And nothing wrong with cannabis. I know a lot of friends that, you know, are in the business. My friend Nick owns Niche, an authorized dealer.
Shout out Nick.
Yeah, Nick is my guy, you know, always one of my biggest supporters when we do events. And always, again, we don't use anything to do with cannabis because he knows I do everything with kids. So it will just be in his family name, but he gives back with us. Mm-hmm. But again, I just looked at that organization like, how can you put my logo without asking me next to a cannabis company when I do everything with kids? And cannabis is not legal to the audience and the people that I serve because it's 21 and older. Everybody, when we do block parties, when we do events, they're, you know, they're 18 and under.
Yeah.
So I got offended by that. But again, they didn't put that out to me. They just came to me like, hey, we're doing this for kids, we're doing that. They got me reeled in and I'm like, oh man, like at the end of it, you was plot twist. And it was crazy.
Yeah, no. I mean, like you were saying before, like you have to be very careful of who you align yourself
yes.
with. And you got to be very protective over your brand because that could, you know, people don't realize that your brand is everything. And depending what you affiliate yourself with could hurt future opportunities.
1,000% will.
Yeah. And speaking of like, you know, who you align yourself with.
Okay.
So what was it? Back in April, May, the sneaker gala?
it was our first inaugural sneaker gala. With the medical center.
Yeah, so that's a crazy collaboration there. But I love what you did there. One, so this guy ends up throwing a gala where everyone's dressed to the nines, right? Suits. And then everyone had their freshest kicks on.
Yeah, women with gowns, no heels.
No heels, just sneakers. You know, it was funny because you could see, like, there's some people there that was like, yo, there's no way they've ever worn sneakers with a suit a day in their life. And this guy, man, he had everybody like it was fresh. It was dope. Great event. And you raised how much? 100,000
that night.
That was amazing.
It's really crazy, though, because it's like I always tell people, like, some of the rooms that I get in and some of the people that I've either talked to or worked with or how it is, I'm like, I still shock myself sometimes. Because, like, even that one, like a kid from the projects that owns a sneaker store. You know, I'm on the board of trustees for the Jersey City Medical Center, so I'm actually a board trustee, but then gets a hospital, you know, which is a big organization. Like, think about it. Jersey City Medical Center is part of R.W. Barnabas Health System in Jersey, the largest health system in New Jersey. And I get them to see, like, hey, listen, there's something here that we could do and we could raise money and not do it the old-fashioned way. Like, you know, we do a golf outing, which is coming up in October, and it's great. The golf outing's phenomenal, but it's $10,000 a foursome. Yeah. Like, that's not feasible for some people to do. It's not feasible for employees of the hospital. So I wanted to give them an event where it was fun. The regular Joe Schmo that works at the hospital could go. The regular Joe Schmo that works outside the hospital could go. And we could all have a good time. We could get dressed up and we could raise some money. And like I said, $100,000 a night. I was shocked. Like, my expectations were like 50 grand. Like, when we got to the 100, like, we got to 96 and we were close. And then I forgot the gentleman's name, but one of the donors came like, you know what? I got four more. I was like, I was like 100,000. The only thing is, like, I learned that night is they should not give me a bottle in my dressing room. That's all I learned, because, you know, when you start a little early and you have to host, you know, you start getting a little loose.
Listen, man, I would have never guessed.
You
were doing great, though. You know, I would have never guessed.
Oh, okay.
But no,
it
was a great event. I love the way everything was themed. I mean, he had, like, sneaker centerpieces and, like, everything was just very well curated. And I love.
Shout out to the Jersey City Medical Center Foundation, because their staff, Maddie, Nicole, Brad, like, let me tell you, man, like, that was not just a Siraj thing. Like, Siraj came in, had this idea, and, like, that was the great thing of working on an event like that with an organization like that, because I got their help. And let me tell you, they were helpful. Like, they were not on, okay, you know what, Raj wants to do this and raise money. They were like, hey, Raj, like, we're going to take care of this. Give us your ideas, and let's make it happen. And it's crazy, because all my other events are me doing it. So, like, this was the first time that I got, like, to see, like, how an organization runs and how the team goes. And let me tell you, like, that's all I want to do now, is I want to do events with organizations, because it's so easy. Like, it makes it work. But they put so much work behind the scenes, and it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal evening. Mind you that I had to catch a flight the next morning at 6 a.m.
You telling me that. I was like, damn.
Yeah, a little rough, but it was okay. You know?
And we went to ringside after that. We overdid our...
Yeah. Oh, we go from drinking at the gala, leaving there at 11 o'clock to, oh, you know what? Let's go to ringside for one drink. And as you know at ringside,
yeah, you can't just
it's
go
never
have,
one yeah, drink. No. Like, and yeah. So, and then we went right to the house, changed, and then right to the airport. So it was interesting.
No, yeah, definitely, definitely a great event and also a great night. So I wanted to talk to you about recently you did a collaboration with you did your Puerto Rican shoes with Adidas.
Yes, we just collaborated with Adidas on it. So we've done collaborations before in the past, and you know, with Nike, with Anta. This one was very special because it was interesting how it happened. So last year, circle back to 2025, we were doing the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City with Adidas. Mm-hmm. So what happened was they sent me some sneakers and they were like, these are our Adistar Control 5s, like boom, boom, boom. And they were like, you know, wear them at the parade. So I'm like, all right. So we looked at them and we were like, okay, they're cool, but they don't scream Puerto Rico. So we took them and we had them customized. So my staff and I came up with, you know, what colors we wanted on the shoe, the pattern that we wanted. And then we went to an airbrush artist and we had them airbrush the sneaker. And they airbrushed the sneaker and we were like, okay, cool. Like, they look great. You know, he took our idea and he made it into what we wanted. So then we wore them for the parade. Picture was snapped. I don't know. It was somebody on my team that took the picture and, you know, posted it. 2 days later, a million views later and a million hits later, did Puerto Rico just come out with the Puerto Rico Adidas sneaker? And it was like, no, this is a custom. Wow. So it was kind of like, this is why I like that. I say this one's special because it was grassroots. Mm-hmm. It started very organically. And that goes to show kids like how things happen. It was just a post. And then it was like, hold on a minute. We got something here. Couple conversations with Adidas, couple talks like, hey, we should actually make this a reality. We want to give back in Puerto Rico. Like, you know, okay, you know, let's start designing it. We started designing the shoe, and then it lined up perfectly because for Hispanic Heritage Month last year, 2025, we actually adopted two schools in Puerto Rico, one in Salinas, Escuela El Coqui, and one in Aguada. And what we did was we did field days in Puerto Rico. We went to Puerto Rico. We set up bounce houses, bull riding. We brought book bags for each kid at the school. We partnered with Senor Paletas on the island, made, you know, Paleta ice pops. And then Jeff Rose, who's a creative from our team, he's also one of the best artists, hands down, flew him out with us, and he did murals at each school to leave on the island. And, like, when we came back and we did that, as we're working through this process of designing this shoe, I'm like, hey, guys, like, I want to put the money from this project and I want to actually do in Salinas at Escuela Coqui. I'm like, the courtyard is open, has a playground and all, but these kids, they can't even play in the playground because it's 110 degrees. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to build the roof. Like, I want to build a sunshade system over the part of the courtyard and over the slide, like the whole playground area. And they're like, okay, got a quote. And I'm like, okay, we need to raise some money. So as we're developing the shoe with Adidas, we're coming up with all the ideas. I'm like, guys, like, this has to be organic. This has to be real, like how we went to Puerto Rico. So I'm like, when the samples came in, I'm like, these can't be shot here. So we flew to Puerto Rico and we shot the promo video and the actual product shots on the island. Cool. Bring them back here. And I'm like, we can't release the shoe here. And they're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, we got to release it in Puerto Rico. And it's like, okay, how do you want to release it? And I'm like, and again, I get these crazy ideas. Like, sometimes I think I live in a fantasy world. And I'm like, I don't want to sell them in Puerto Rico. I want to give them away. And it's like, whoa, like it just stops. Because the way these projects work is we buy the shoes from the company, then we sell them, and then whatever profit's there, that's profit for us or, you know, to give back if that's what we want to do, which all of our collabs that we've ever done have been charity shoes. We've always given all the money back. So I'm like, let's go to Puerto Rico. Let's do an event. So we set up this art event at an art gallery. We rent out the gallery. We get about 20 artists from Puerto Rico to do art inspired by Adidas paintings. We let them put them up there for sale. And again, all the money going back to the artist, nothing going to Sneaker Room. Then we partner up with a local brewery, Santuse Brewery, and we get the liquor done. Then we partner with a pizza, right? The pizza shop right next door. So we're like, all right, let's do this. So we put this event together. We start promoting it. And we're telling everybody, you cannot buy the shoe. Like, we're not selling the shoe on the island. We're just giving about 150 pairs away randomly, like raffles. So we try to close the street down. And Puerto Rico's a different government. It's not that easy. Like, here it's like, you know, fill out a permit. You know, you got it. There's a little different. So we got told no for the block party to shut it down. No problem. So the event is on Saturday. You know, I'm there for a week prior shooting, doing everything that I do, getting it set up. My wife flies in. My team flies in, you know, to work the event with me and do everything we got to do. And it's 12 o'clock. The event starts at 5. And there's already about 150 people in line. And I'm like, walking down, like, you know, we're not selling the shoes. They're like, yeah, we're just here to support. Wow. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. Like, so by the time you open at 5, there's like 400 people in line. Again, mind you, we're not selling the shoe. So we have the event. Perfect timing how it works. There was a pickup truck parked in front of the gallery that didn't move. And Wella, who's from LA, he's very, very, you know, connected in the fashion industry and connected on the island because he used to live there, have a whole bunch of businesses, parties and all that. I flew him in because he's got such a good heart. I flew him in from LA to be the host. Wella just decides to host it from the actual back of the pickup truck.
Wow.
So that becomes our stage. Then we got a guy named Ortiz, great DJ out on the island, good friend of ours. He's done events for us over here. He's our DJ. So he's setting a soundtrack. And let me tell you, like, it's just turning into this perfect party. And as the days go on, we got this old school reggaeton, Follow. Great guy, great reggaeton music. And if I'm saying his name wrong, I'm sorry. I don't think I am because I really didn't know who he was until I got, they were like, yo, Raj, this is like one of the originators of reggaeton. He pulls up and he does a free concert outside.
Wow, that's incredible.
Like it's going crazy. Like 7 o'clock, it's starting to get dark. But I mean, now cars can't really get down the street because we're in Santuse, right around the corner from Watusi. And it's crazy in that area. Police come. So I'm like, oh man, like we about to get shut down. We walk up and the two women are like, yo, it's a block party. Put the sirens on, close the street. Let's rock. Now we got 2,000, 3,000 people in the heart of Santuse just partying.
Oh my God, how lit.
You know, like the videos don't even do it justice. Like it was amazing. I gave the cop a pair of sneakers. I was like, you deserve a pair. Like you get a kick. And we're having this party and it's like the love because like out there, like again, we weren't selling nothing. So these were people that were just prideful that A, there was a shoe representing them, but B, people came to the island to represent their culture and give back to their culture and not take away. And it was like, to be honest with you, it was one of the most phenomenal things we've ever done. Then we wound up doing an after party at this place called Felina's up the block. And the dope thing about that event was just that it just shows how you can have an economic boost wherever you go because the pizzeria made money, the brewery made money, the art gallery made money because we rented it. All the local bars around there made money. You know, the club made money. And it was just crazy because we went there and like the only impact that we thought we were originally going to have was just this cultural moment. And we wound up having an economic impact on all these businesses to the point where, like, we're doing it again. Like, yeah, you heard it here first. Like, there's a Puerto Rico 2 coming out. Like, it's there. Like, it's there. And we'll be back on the island, bigger and better, just working on new ideas. But it's so crazy that you could do that because I think a lot of times when you see, like, projects with sneakers especially or any kind of collaboration, whether it's a car, whether it's fashion, it's always just about the collaborator and their business and making money. That's where I think we kind of changed that whole scene because we're doing stuff where we're not even making money. Like even when we came back here, like think about it. We did the release over there. It was phenomenal. We came back here to sell the shoe. We had the, you know, we gave out free empanadas on the block, 500 empanadas. Have you seen the video I had a shopping cart that someone left in front of the store and I was like, all right, cool. Let's decorate it. But even there, the economic impact was Sabroso next door to us. We bought all the empanadas from her, and we gave them out. Then after the release of, which we sold out of the sneakers, after the release, like, we did the first ever Salsa on Central concert, where we shut Central down, you know, one block, and basically the liquor store, Sabroso, the taco spot, they all made money. And again, we didn't ask them for sponsorship. We didn't ask them to pay to be a part of it. It was just what we do. So the Puerto Rico shoe was epic. Like I said, we've done, you know, we've done shoes for breast cancer, which has been epic. We've done shoes for mom, which has been epic. Like, if you go to the medical center, that's how I really got my first connection. A lot of people don't know unless you go to the hospital. If you go to the Christie Care Women's Center behind the hospital in the other building, you walk into that Christie Care Women's Center, and I paid for that room. Like, there's a sneaker on the wall. It's in memory of my mom, because that's what I did with our first collab. And we paid for this room so that people would go there. And when you're going to get your test results, when you're going to get your mammograms, when you're going to find out what your treatment plan is, you know, it's so negative. And it was a hospital. It's dull. We put lively colors. We put a mural by Jeff Rose on that. And you go in there with a sense of hope. And again, every day someone walks in there, someone reads my mother's name and keeps her legacy alive. So it's really dope.
Damn,
it's
that's
really
that's dope. Beautiful. Definitely need an invite to when you go back to Puerto Rico.
The whole world's invited, baby. That sounded, you see it on the gram.
That sounded incredible, right? And I think it's a beautiful thing that you're so big on community. And I always encourage businesses in the areas to collaborate as often as possible, whether that looks like just a simple store-to-store collaboration or just tapping into the community. And also, one thing too is, like you're saying, you changed the way that that businesses operate. Like, you're not selling them anything, you're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart.
Well, the thing is, it's funny, I just had a conversation today before I came here with an association, and that was my whole conversation. It was like, listen, guys, the economy's bad right now. We all know that. You know, it's the hands down, it's different times. People are not spending the money they used to and all that.
Correct.
But I don't understand where business owners think that business is like rat beef. Like, it's old East Coast, West Coast beef. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, he's doing that. Oh, I want to one up him. I don't want, like, no, let's do it together.
Yeah.
Like, think about if you look at Instagram for a perfect example. Think about if you have a following of 20,000 followers. Sneaker Room has a following of 155,000 followers. So-and-so has a following of 5,000 followers. If you add that together, we're now at 180.
Yeah.
But the people don't understand that. It's like, yo, let's work together. And again, you're not even like restaurants. You're not going to take my money because I don't sell food.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take your money because I don't sell food. You know, anything like that. I think, like, even with HuddPost, like, think about it. I came to you and talked about doing collaborations. And I was like, listen, I don't want to pay you. Like, I was honest. I was like, but we could collaborate for the community. And you guys were like, oh, hold on, Siraj, let's have this conversation. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, when you're promoting your businesses, yeah, HuddPost should get paid. Like, I'm not going to lie, because that's a marketing tool. That's a business. Mm-hmm. That's 100% if you're going to advertise the store. But, like, when I come to you guys, I'm like, yo, I want to advertise a give back event. Like, not nothing to do with that. So that's what collaborations look like. And I think people don't see that. And I think, like, if people would use resources like HuddPost, not only to market them, but to, like, guide them, because a lot of people just don't know business, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, you know, they might look at, hey, if I pay, I'm not going to just keep saying HuddPost. Like, if they pay anybody, I'm not going to pay you to market me. But sometimes it's not paying you to market me. It's paying you to tell me what's a good move. Yeah. Who's a good collaborator? Who should I work with? And I think that's what gets lost in the translation. Like, we should all be working together, because, like, we could do great things together. Like, we did Salsa on Central, bro. Like, that was the city of Jersey City. That was Danny Rivera. That was cultural affairs. Look at the four people put together, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When we do our block party, it's, you know, all these companies come together. And, like, it's weird, because, like, with the block party, we have it coming up. I could put it out now because everybody's been asking. It's going to be Wednesday, September 2nd. We haven't put the info out on how to get the backpacks, because that's always a touchy subject, because everybody wants backpacks. But, like, even that, like, local businesses, like, This block party, we give out almost $55,000 worth of book bags. They're Adidas book bags. There's 1,000, even sometimes there's 1,500. Not sure the number this year, but if they're $55 each and we do 1,000 backpacks, that's $55,000 in backpacks. But then there's the ice cream truck. Then there's the rides. Then there's the activities. We pay for all that. That cost us a pretty penny. It costs us like, you know, 35, 40 grand. Thank God it's not as high because we do have great people like Brian from Premier Vibes, who he comes in and he does everything at cost for me because he knows it's for the kids. He's a great company, you know, and he helps out. We have, you know, of course, like the Jersey City Police Department and POBA, they help us out with stuff like that with the cops and all. Again, Adidas helps us out with the bags. You know, it's a lot of people moving parts, but it's still 40 grand that we have to raise. Yeah. So like I'll chalk up and be like, all right, cool. I got, you know, I got 7,500 to throw in to start it. And then, you know, we start working through it. And, like, these local businesses don't see, like, we don't ask them for 1,000. We don't ask them for 2,000, like, 500 bucks. And I'm like, what you get for 500 bucks is, A, your community knows you care. Mm-hmm. But, B, you're tagged on Instagram.
Yeah.
So people that follow us that don't know you will then click on you.
Know you.
And they'll see you. And they'll see what you're about. And they know. Because I'm a firm believer that the only reason we're still in business, all jokes aside, is because people see how much stuff we do in the community. And they want to come to us. Like, oh, this guy, he's always giving something away. Ah, let's go buy a pair of sneakers from him.
Yeah, you support your community. Your community is going to support you.
And it's crazy because, like, a big thing that I'm fighting with this in my head all the time. Like, I really don't understand it. And I wish I could. And maybe you guys out there could explain to me. But, like, we sell almost the same stuff that Foot Locker has, but we have a better selection because we get a, you know, a premium kind of quality. I shouldn't say Foot Locker, but then the mall has.
Yeah.
And people still go to the mall to buy sneakers. And I'm like, you don't know the CEO of Foot Locker.
Exactly.
You've never shook the CEO of JD Sports hand. You've never shook the hand of the old person that owns Snipes. Like, you know Siraj. Like, you see him on the block. You see his whole team. You know everybody that works with him at the store. You know their wives. You know their cousins. You know their dog. You know if they got a kid. So I'm like, wouldn't you want to come to us and put the money in our pocket because our money goes back to you? And it's very weird because, like, as the economy's changing, you know, that's something that I'm dealing with now because I'm trying to figure out, like, why we get more support from outside of Jersey City than we do from inside of Jersey City. Like, it's more like more people come from New York, Newark, Passaic, Patterson to shop with us than the actual people in JC.
So I've been a musician for years.
Oh, so you already know.
And I already know.
you already know.
It's this crabs in the barrel mentality, yeah. Right? That doesn't make any sense because, like you said, the same way as somebody goes to shake to shake the hands of that has never shook hands with the CEO of Snipes or the Nike store or anything like that. But people go and support them is the same thing as, like, you could easily share my new album, my new song, my new video that I just dropped. But then those people that won't do that are wishing, like, Drake a happy birthday. But Drake wouldn't even, like, spit in your direction.
Yeah, they repost this. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, that's the thing because, like, even with, like, when you go to a store, I don't want to use name, but when you go to a store in the mall.
Yeah.
The price is the price.
Yeah.
Whatever it is on, whatever that tag says you're paying. When you come to Sneaker Room, it's like, we shop with attitudes. Like, it's like, yo. Shoes 115. Yeah, you know, I got you for 100, man. Let's just do it flat. Like, and I don't understand because, like, me, I love to shop for bargains. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I go, you know, like, all right, cool. That person will take care of me. I'm gonna go there. So it's very weird to see. And I don't know. And I guess it's kind of funny after being in business for 20 years that I guess I'm getting older. And as I get older now, I'm starting to look at stuff like that. I'm like, damn, like, when I go out to have a drink, 30 people come up to me and say, yo, Raj, what's good? Yo, Raj, I love what you're doing in the community. But out of those 30 people, 28 only come to the store. And I'm like, the other 28 still wear Air Forces. They still wear Sambas. Like, when I saw you, you had a fly pair of kicks on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, like, what's that about? Like, what, you know, what did I say something about your mama? Did I talk about your cousin? Like, and I don't really necessarily understand it. I'm sure you guys go through that, like, even with your company. It's starting to, like, actually intrigue me, you know, as you get into business and as you do it. Cause again, when it's good and it's flowing, you don't start looking at these things.
Yeah.
When it slows down, you start trying to figure out, like, what can I do better? How do I do it? And that's where I think, again, like Instagram, you know, all Twitter, all this stuff, that's what people don't talk about. Like, that's why I didn't know what we were going to talk about on this podcast, but I'm actually happy because, like, we get to go from everything, life, family, we get to go into, like, even this, like, business, like, what's going on? Like, you know, like, I saw the one that I really loved the other day that you guys did was the store on Burgerline that was selling the squishy things.
Oh, Panda Carousel. Shout out Barbara. Yeah.
But I love that because that's a business that I've known for years has been there because that's one of the stores that we would go to when our kids were younger to find their christening outfits.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's that old school store. But again, like, why wouldn't you go, like she's selling the squishy things. And I love that that's a fad right now because you can find those at Five Below. You can find those at Target. But I love to see that there was a store on Bergerline Avenue in the community that had a line. Yeah. That they were in that Five. Now, mind you, they might have went to Five Below after to buy another one. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pride. And I think that's what's missing. And that's why a lot of businesses, if you look around, they're going out.
Yeah.
Like, really, when you think about Jersey City, and I'm going to use Jersey, and use Union City, Bergerline Avenue. If you look at it, a lot of the retail stores, whether it be sneakers, apparel, stuff like that, they're fading away.
They are.
All you're seeing pop up is eateries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coffee shops, restaurants, cafes. Like, there's really no more actual stores.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird.
There's a few things at play there, right? I think going back to the whole support thing and the crabs in the barrel mentality, it's that when people come from where you come from, they look at you as like, well, he's from where I'm from. What's so special about him? But it's really just them, like, deflecting because that's how they feel. They feel low about themselves.
Yes.
So they're like, well, what's so special about this guy? I don't want to support him.
You drive a nice car. Oh, I'm not going to support him because he has a nice car.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, like, if you have a business, I'll support you too.
Yeah. And
like,
do you know what it took to get this nice car? You know, like, again, no one sees the groundwork.
It's that mentality. Like I said, it's that hater mentality.
Yeah.
And I don't get it because, like, me, if somebody pulls up next to me in a Ferrari, I'm like, yo, bro, good job. Like, I'm like, wow, that's, like, amazing. Like, I don't have a Ferrari. Like, God bless you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't know why people don't think like that. Like, I guess it's just, you know, the way the world is, the mentality, where we're from, how we grew up. But it's very weird because, like, I would love to see people that we know. Like, listen, every restaurant that I eat in Jersey City, excuse me, I know the owner.
Yeah.
Like, it's because I go to, like, listen, the Knicks games were on. I could have been anywhere. I watched almost every Knicks game. I was either at ringside or I was at Left Bank in downtown.
Yeah.
Like, because I know both owners and I know their families. And I'm like, cool. Like, why am I going to go to New York and support a business that I don't know?
Of course.
These are my guys. These are the people that I rock with. So I eat there. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, I preach it all the time. I always support local. And I'm somebody that I've all my stuff that I wear typically is like stuff that's made in the community.
100%.
Like, shout out NJ Chris. Shout out Hustle County. Like, shout out all these brands that also make their, like, you know, make the clothes within Hudson County. I love supporting local. I barely go to the mall.
Yeah.
And
Listen, the mall you got to go to when you need, like, denim or, like, slacks.
Yes.
That's there's no comparison. You got to go to Banana Gap to get your slacks. But, like, even with us, every shirt that we print, Sneaker Room, is printed right in Jersey City at Bolt Print Shop. Like, shout out to Tommy.
Tommy. Matt Limited. Yeah. He's got a few prints.
Yeah, you know, but that's the thing. Like, again, it's like, and that's what I try to tell people. I'm like, think about it. If you buy this shirt, not only are you supporting us, and, like, a lot of times our shirts are, for charity. We have a project coming up now for the Block Party. Like, we did, like, tour merch. So you'll be supporting the Block Party. It helps us raise money. But you also supported Tommy because Tommy printed the shirts.
Yeah.
So, like, look at the line of success.
You're keeping
the ecosystem.
The money in the community, rotating in the community. And that's what just people do not understand.
Not at all, bro.
Support your local business people because, you know what? Like, besides that they're in the community, it's like they need you the most.
Yes.
You know?
And also, like, think about it. What is your block going to look like when they're gone?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to see? Because there's nothing else to walk around and do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, think about it. Newark Avenue, like, prime example, you said, what did Jersey City look like? Newark Avenue used to be a shopping area. Now pedestrian plaza is nothing but restaurants and bars. And nothing wrong with them. They're great. I go to a lot of them down there. Fun Friday and Saturday nights, you know, good food, good times. But during the day, you're not really eating or drinking like that. So there's no reason to really go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy because, like I said, that used to be a bustling area of shopping.
Yeah. And I mean, what's happening also is that you now have, like, Amazon and you have Walmarts. And to me, like, I have no problem with, like, a free market, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, there needs to be something in play here where you can't bring, like, something like a Walmart in town because I feel like that also hurts businesses too. Like, instead of it might help the taxpayers, you know, offset the property taxes and stuff like that.
I'm looking at, like, to be honest with you, and I'm looking, no shade, but I'm looking at Journal Square.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Target just opened. And then I look at C.H. Martin, and I'm like, what's
going to
happen?
Perfect example.
Because, you know, like, we grew up, C.H. Martin was our Target back in the day. When there was no Target or there was no Walmart, that's what we depended on. Same thing, like, on Central Avenue, use my block, Kennedy Department Store. That's, like, I'll call that, like, the community Target because they got everything. You need, you know, shout out to Jimmy. That used to be my whole landlord. Jimmy's a good guy. But that used to be the spot. Like, if you need cleaning supplies, you got it. If you need a rug, you got it. If you need a bathroom thing, you got anything you need, he got. And what happens to them as these big box doors come in? And that's the thing. Like, you know, what are we going to see? Like, perfect example. Look at Central Avenue. C.H. Martin went out of business there. I think it's like a temporary gym right now, because that's a big space to use for what kind of business. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Discount, DD Discount closed.
Yeah.
Rainbow closed. You know what I mean? So like that's prime examples of right now what's happening when you don't support. And now, mind you, those are chain stores. Like Kennedy Department Store is a private family owned. Rainbow's is chain, whatever. But regardless, it's still like what happens when these stores that, you know, that's where we got our stuff for our kids. And now they're gone. That's why, like I said, I love the Burger Line piece, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I know no. that store.
And
like,
she's been there forever. She's like known for that too. Yeah. Her christening piece, the communion stuff. Like she's, I mean, when we did a video with I want to say a few months back, I did like a skit with her where I bring my kid there. I don't have a kid.
I know, but I was going to laugh.
but basically we like, we put in this little kid named Johancito.
Okay.
He's like me with a little beard.
I saw it.
And that post got a lot of love. And the comments was awesome to look at, because everyone's like, oh my God, I brought my whole family here to get their communion stuff. And it's like, again, it's just being a staple in the community.
Bro,
like,
I'm getting old, but I love when somebody walks in with like a 13 or 14 year old and they're like, yo, Raj, I bought his first sneakers from you. Like I had a dude the other day come in. I couldn't believe it. He was like, 2006, bought a pair of sneakers for his kid, like baby infant sneakers. And he came back. He's like, yo, my son's 20. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
it was like a nostalgic moment. Like, yes.
But
I was also like, damn, bro, like life cycle's almost gone. Like I was like, like 20 years later. But yeah, man, I just think, bro, like that whole thing about supporting businesses and all, I don't understand why people don't do it. Because like I said, again, whether it be a shirt, whether it be a cup of coffee, whether it be a sneaker, whether it be whatever, you're going to these places like Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
You wait in line for so long. I'm not a coffee guy, thank God. But you wait in line for so long, and there's some dope coffee shops right in your city.
Dude,
like there's great coffee shops. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I despise Starbucks. To me, people wait online for some burnt tasting coffee. Yeah, I said it. Come after me.
I didn't.
I love coffee. I'm Cuban, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it.
So, to me, I could have a ridiculous amount of coffee in one sitting. But I love going to, like, coffee shops. Like, one of my favorite places to go to and just have a latte and just chill out and just relax is Parker on in West New York. I don't know if you've been there.
No.
Awesome brunch spot. I mean, it's good for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But gotcha. I personally go there for brunch just because I love the menu. And I love just hanging out. They have a little patio area, have coffee there. It's a vibe.
But now I'm not even a coffee guy, and I spend a lot of time at Griot Cafe, which is a coffee shop on Central.
Yes, yes.
The reason why I spend time there, because John and Vic, the owners, they're the homies. But I go there, I buy a bottle of water, and I buy somebody else a cup of coffee, and I have my meetings there. Like, that's what coffee shops are. Like, you can't go to Starbucks and sit down and have a private meeting. Like, the other day I had a meeting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, there's a last customer walked out. And then I'm like, John, what time you close? He's like, 5. I'm like, bro, it's 5:15. Why? He's like, yo, you were busy. I was like, oh, you see, but that's that local coffee shop. That's that local business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's all about. Like, even like Sneaker Room, like I always tell people like all the time, because like when people walk in, it's funny, man. I love retail. I'm not gonna lie. I've been doing it for a long time. People walk in and I don't know what's wrong with the world. People are not friendly. But you'd be like, hey, how are you? I'm good. I'm just looking. Like, I'm like, I just asked you if you were good. So, like, I have a tagline when they say, like, yo, I'm just looking. I'm like, cool, looking's free today. If you come back tomorrow, I'm going to charge you. And, you know, you break the ice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, again, I don't understand. Like, I guess people are so, like, they think that when you, like, I tell people all the time, you can walk in our store. You don't have to buy nothing. Walk in, take a look, have a conversation, leave. Because eventually you will need something and you'll come back. That's why customer service is our first and foremost, is what's on our thing. We want you to feel like you walked in, nobody put pressure on you to buy something. Everybody treated you good. Like the other day, I had a great conversation with a woman about taxes. Like it was a phenomenal conversation about schools and taxes. And she didn't buy nothing at all. And it was about 40 minutes. But it was a great conversation. Like when she
a
left,
great conversation about taxes. Yeah. How rare.
When she left, I was like, thank you. I was like, that was the highlight of my day. Like, you know, and she was like, cool. And we, you know, it was, but again, that's what's missing. And I think that's what's missing in everything. Like, I don't know, man. The world's different.
I mean, so you live outside of Jersey City now, right? I also spent some time outside of Hudson County, out of North Bergen. But one thing that I love when I moved back is the fact that, and I said it in the last episode too, is that I could go to this pizzeria and then cross over, hit the comic book shop, buy some cards. Shout out to Siraj for putting me onto Pokemon cards. Now I'm like this
bad habit.
Addict
bad
now.
Habit.
Now it's like the lot. It's like scratch offs for me. I'm like, yo, let me get a pack, rip them. Oh my God, I got a hit.
My wife hates it. That's exactly what it is. It's legal. It's legal gambling. That's all it is.
Pretty much. And it's somehow still performing better than the stock market currently. Nuts. But I love that. that. I could go to the comic book shop. I could go get a jersey right up the block. Like, it's just, I love that, it's almost therapeutic, you know, where you're walking around and you're going, it's an experience.
My
you know?
Wife and I was just talking about this. We live outside of Jersey City. We needed more space, you know, whatever. But I'm always back in Jersey City because of that. Yeah. Because the towns that, like, I live in and other towns, they don't have that community. They have a couple eateries and that's it. Like, yeah. There's no shopping. There's no nothing. So, like, perfect example of what my day looks like. I'm here with you guys. I'm going to go back to my store. I'm going to spend it till 6 o'clock. I'm going to leave at 6. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to grab dinner real quick with my wife. And then we have our plans to come back to Jersey City to go to the Italian festival downtown. Because my wife goes down there. She gets her, her wine and peaches from O'Leary's. And we go down there and that's what we do. Same thing with, like, mostly our Friday and Saturday nights. Or I leave the store, I go back to the crib because I don't want her to Uber in. Sometimes she's Uber in, but sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Pick up the wife, and we're back at Ringside. We're back at O'Leary's. We're back at Left Bank. Because also, when we go to these spots, like you said, it's like we start here, and then where do we wind up? Like, you know, like the other night, I was at Ringside. I wound up at Surf City afterwards. Yeah. You see, then I wound up at Basil's Pizza.
It's a vibe, man. Everything's in proximity. And it's just that's the thing is that you don't realize it because being transparent, you know, growing up, Hudson County as a whole has gotten a lot better, right?
Yes.
Because when I was growing up, there was a gang on every block.
You ain't telling
right?
me.
Right? Like the punks would punk you, right?
Listen.
And I was like, yo, I'm dying to get to a suburb. Like I used to dance quinceañeras when I was growing up. And we used to go to one every weekend in Paramus. But I used to drive by, see those houses, and I'm like, damn, I want to live out here one day.
But it's so crazy that you say that because it's so changed and reversed. Because, like, before you made it by getting out of Hudson County.
Correct.
Now you made it by getting in Hudson County.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, I had that conversation.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I can't believe that because you're right. Because even growing up in the projects, you were like, yo, like, I want to get out of Jersey City. And then you're like, wait. I want to get back to Jersey City.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, I want to come back. Yeah, Hudson County in general, you're right.
You leave it and then you're like, once you got out, you're like, oh my God, I'm out of here. And then after a while, you're like, this is nice, but something's missing. Like, and then you end up taking trips back. And then like before you know it, you're just, like you said, I'm sleeping here, but my life is there.
But I think it's actually a good, like for me at least, it's a good medium. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? Like, it's like I spend my whole day in Jersey City, spend my evenings in Jersey City, but then I get to go home and just relax. You know, and listen, to be honest with you, you're going to laugh at this, but I'm actually happy for one reason that I'm out of Jersey City. You want to know why? My dog has grass. That's it. My dog Teddy is my son.
And there's parking.
Parking too. But like I'll bring Teddy once in a while to Jersey City. He don't know where to piss and poop. Like, he's like, Dad, what's this concrete? Like, he's looking around at the sidewalk like, Dad, what's this? Like, it's not soft and fuzzy under my paws. So it's like that's the kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And especially now, like, as my kids, like, you know, my kids are 26 and 20. Mm-hmm. So my kids are grown, you know what I mean? And that's the weird thing, too, because, like, now we bought the house, but it's like, damn, we go back so much. I'm like, do we need an apartment? Like, you know, like, just, and then my wife's like, no, we're good. Like, you know, so it has its perks.
What kind of dog is Teddy?
Oh, man, he's a dog with the behavioral problems. So he's a teddy bear,
okay.
Which is a Shih Tzu mixed with a Bichon.
Oh, man.
But he was the best, nicest dog ever. Then we went through COVID. And now he does not talk to anybody besides the family. You cannot pet him. You cannot do nothing. He's a killer. And it's kind of crazy because it's always the little white dogs that are the ones that's so angry.
Yeah.
And then here I am walking my dog, this little white dog, and people are like, oh, look at the little. It's different.
Oh, man. No, Shih Tzus are great dogs. I had one too for 17 years. You know, we had to put them down in March.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was hard. But man, like dogs, they're just incredible.
Listen, man, it's funny. We were one of those families, actually, because my wife and me were aligned. Never wanted pets. You know, the kids had fish when they were growing up. Kids had a turtle. Kids had all that stuff. My youngest son, he's not little, he's 20, but he wanted a dog like 8 years ago. He gave us his whole sad thing, whatever. Went to a store, found him, whatever. Gave us his sad thing, and we bought him. And I was so against it. Like, I was like, this is my wife and me. No, like, whatever. This is like our son. Like, my wife's like, he's never sleeping in the bed. Dude's in the bed prior to me every night. And I'm like, and I laughed because the other day I saw something. It was like on Instagram. It was funny as hell. It was like, Your wife tells you you got to shower before you go to bed because you were out all day, everything. And then the dog gets up on the bed and goes, I've been playing in the grass. I peed on the concrete. I peed on a hydrant. And I ain't take a shower. And I'm right here on her pillow. And I'm like, damn, that's so real.
It's true.
Like, this dude just, yeah, I'm up in the bed. So, yeah, dogs are, I'm a dog lover now, guys. Siraj is officially a dog dad. I love dogs.
No, yeah, that's, it's funny because growing up, my father was highly against having a dog because he's like, you know, he had a dog growing up in Cuba.
Okay.
And he, you know, lost the dog. And it's a lot of pain that you suffer because they become family.
All right, well, stop. You're going to make me cry again because, I'm already looking at, like, when I start reading, like, dog's lifespan is 15 years and my dog's 8. And I'm like, yo, I got 7 years left. Like,
yeah, no, it's,
like, what are we going to do here? Like, it's...
Yeah, man. It's, all right, it's
change
rough.
The subject. Come
it's
on, rough.
Anywho,
go somewhere else. Go somewhere different.
So let's let's talk about, you mentioned that you've done multiple collaborations.
Yes.
We already touched base on Puerto Rico. I remember we actually recently did a video at your store.
Yep.
And you mentioned it's hard when we do these spotlight videos because we try to cram in as much conversation, as much fun into short form content because people's attention spans that we left out on a lot of things,
okay.
You know? So I want you to elaborate more on the collaborations. You did one with Kyrie Irving, you said.
So we first started with Nike itself and we did breast cancer. And what we did was we did Nike ID shoes where we actually designed them on Nike ID because we couldn't get a collab, and we made them and we bought them, and we raised 15 grand three times because we did that three times. Then we actually went into actually doing a full blown real collab, and we did the Victor Cruz shoe when Vic was playing for the Giants. We did a breast cancer Victor Cruz shoe.
Mm.
We raised 75,000 off of that.
Wow.
Then we went into and we did the Bo Jackson, which is one of my favorite sneakers, the SC Trainer. We did a collab with Nike on that one, three colorways for breast cancer. We raised, I think, a little bit over 100,000. Then we started a project with Kyrie, and it was like about moms. It was when he was with Nike, and we did the project with Kyrie, and we did four of them with him. Raised money every year. We did two other breast cancer shoes. Then when Kyrie went to Anta, the new company that he's with, we did another collab with him, a mom. We brought the mom project there. We did it. And we're not doing that anymore. Anyway, never mind. I'm not going to get into that, but that project's over. People don't have the same – not Kyrie. Shout out to Kyrie. Companies. Companies don't have the same spotlight. And now we're with Adidas, and we're in talks with a couple other companies. But the projects that I just told you about, you know, Longstem, are probably about a little bit over $1.5 million raised and donated from those projects. So it's phenomenal. Like, it's fun, man. Like, I love this stuff.
That's incredible.
Like,
I don't know. And I love to hear the stories behind them because it's cool because, you know, people just open up sneaker stores. But you use your platform for just so much good.
I love is with these collabs is I love that when someone buys them, yeah, they're buying it because it's cool. Yeah, they're buying it because it's limited. But they're really buying it because they know what it is and it resonates with them. Like, think about breast cancer, man. Like, breast cancer, I don't care who you are. I don't care, you know, what nationality you are, whatever it may be. I guarantee you, everybody you talk to, they might not have went through it, but they know someone who went through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of those diseases that it's there. It's right there. We all talk about it. Everybody knows about it. And that's the crazy thing about it because it's like... people support stuff like that. And also people like, wait, I could wear this and I'm proud of it. Like same thing when we did the mom shoes. It was like, everybody has a mom.
Yeah.
If you don't have a mom, that's even more of a reason because you have something missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the Puerto Rico shoe, Boricuas, they're prideful. You know, they wait. Like, listen, I don't care what nationality you are. There's no other nationality that makes more flags than Puerto Ricans.
No.
Like straight up, like that's it. The Boricua flag it's the flag. Like that's it. You know, we're doing another project coming out in March. Can't talk about what it is, but that project in March, I think that, you know, we'll do an interview again when that comes out. I'm going to hold you to it.
Awesome.
But I think that one's going to really, really change the game because that one is, again, a charity project. It's about awareness, but it's something, and again, don't want to give it up because I really want to keep it lock and key, but it's something that has a very big stigmatism in our community.
Okay.
In the urban community, in the parenting community, and we're knocking down barriers by doing stuff that has that stigmatism so that we could bring it out and talk about it and be like, it's okay to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that project coming out. We have the Puerto Rico project again. We have another one after that, and we're working on a fourth one now. So like
next year
we're gonna be full of a lot of projects. But the thing that I love about it is when you see a lot of collaborators, and there's no shade thrown on anybody, there's a lot of great collaborators that do great projects, it's all about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's about my brand. It's about, you know, say it was Sneaker Room. It's about Sneaker Room, Sneaker Room this, Sneaker Room that. Like these projects that we do, we don't even mention Sneaker Room. Like the blogs take it and they go Sneaker Room Adidas, you know, Puerto Rico, Sneaker Room Adidas, breast cancer. We don't even talk about that. Mm-hmm. We just talk about the actual cause, Puerto Rico, breast cancer, this new one that I'm doing. Because that's what it's supposed to be about. Put the spotlight on what you're really doing, not about who you are. Don't stroke your ego. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Okay. No, for sure.
I got Willie thinking. I like it. This is what I like. I like it. When he goes like this, it's like you got like, something, Siraj.
Word. Word, dude. So I want to leave off with this. We're coming close to the end.
Oh, that's it, man? Yeah. Oh, man, I got to go.
I don't know. This has been an incredible time, and you've been an incredible guest. One thing is, what would you tell somebody? Well, what would you tell a kid that comes from Marion, comes from a neighborhood that underestimates them? What would you tell them?
Simple. I was you. Mm-hmm. Look at me. That's it. Because to be very honest with you, where you come from, the way you grow up, and mind you, I used to have that mindset. Like when I was younger, I thought I'd be nothing. I thought I wouldn't amount to nothing because I grew up in the projects. I come from humble beginnings. Bro, that's just the start of your story. Like, you know, think about it. When you write a book, when you read a book, whatever it may be, right? You start on page one, right?
Correct, yeah.
You got to go through all these pages and chapters to get to the end. Mm-hmm. So when you're like 15, 16 years old, or let's even go 18 and you just graduated high school, bro, you're on like the third chapter. Like there's so much more to write. And I think that's what the kids forget. Because the problem is everybody wants the instant gratification now.
Yeah.
And trust me, like, listen, I have two sons. One's 26, one's 20. My oldest is in med school trying to be a doctor. And he goes through, you know, he goes through adversity every day with what he's studying, you know, and I have talks with him. Like, again, the stuff that I'm going to say here is not what I don't tell my own kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I call my son all the time, like, how you doing? Like, Dad, this is tough. I'm like, you want to give up? He's like, what do you mean? Like, nah, if you don't want to do it, come back. We'll figure something else out. He's like, no, I want to. But again, because it's not that I'm telling him to give up. I'm telling him that if it's not for him, my man, we got another chapter.
It's okay to
like,
reinvent
that's
yourself.
What I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, same thing like I did. Like, I worked for somebody else, I went back. Same thing with my youngest son. My youngest son is, you know, he's going into his junior year of college, a business major, works at the store full time. You met him. Mm-hmm. And he wants to take over the business. I'm like, cool. But I'm like, if not, what you want to do? You know what I mean? Because like, think about it. Like, when I was younger, nobody told me become a cop, do 25 years, and you retire with a pension. Mm-hmm. Bro, I didn't even learn what a pension was until I was 25 years old. Like, nobody talks about that. Nobody told us become a union worker and, you know, weld. Bro, become a plumber. Like, yeah. People see plumbers and they're like, oh, it's a dirty job. It's a dirty job that you make a ton of money in.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm like, cool, I'm dirty all day until I go back to my mansion and take a shower in my marble shower. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's really what it is with these kids. And I'm so focused on the youth because the youth are our future. And I'm a strong believer of that. That's why the Sneaker Room Foundation does everything for kids, you know, backpack giveaways, block parties, you know, the Christmas parade. It's that, yo, like, realistically, this is the best time ever I think the world has been because there's so many ways for you to reinvent yourself and make money. Streaming. Like, bro, I didn't even believe in streaming and believe in, like, all this YouTube stuff. And then I watched the video just yesterday. The girl was like, oh, yeah, I made a video, got 800,000 views. I made $1,600. I was like, what? Like, one video, $1,600? I was like, damn. I was like, what I got to do? Like, I got to make a video. I'm like, let me go smack somebody and do something, get some likes. But it's crazy because that's what these kids don't get. Because they just want to, like, yo, I'm 18 years old. Like, I got to get this by the time I'm 20. Nah, yeah. Bro. Like, look at my story. I was still working a regular job at 25. 26, I started my business. It didn't go good. Like, I don't think I kind of peaked until I was, like, my mid-30s. And now, look at, like, what I just said. And just so you know, guys, this is real talk. This is not fake talk. This is not, oh, let's just say stuff because we're on a podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm 46 now, and business is not doing too good. See what I'm saying? So that's what these kids got to understand. Like, you could go up.
There's up and downs.
I mean, look at rappers. They got a high note. They got good, because you brought music, so I'm going to do music. Yeah. They got a good career to making money. then they can't get another single.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
It happens. And then what do you got to do? You got to pivot. You got to get into selling a different product, or, you know, get into acting.
Like I said, that's what I think is going on. I think that's what, like, perfect example. Like, I went to County Prep. I sit on an advisory board at County Prep and High Tech for business. And I went in there to talk to the kids one day, and I'm like, how many of you guys got tattoos? Now, mind you, this is the guy who's fully sleeved up. Like, 22 kids stood up. I'm like, how many of your tattoos are below your elbow? Like, 18 still standing. A couple of them are females. And I'm like, yo, what are you thinking? And they're like, oh, what do you mean? I'm like, guys, my first tattoo was 18 when my brother passed away. I wore a button-down shirt, and I told the guy on a collared shirt, I said, go above this. I said, all of this came when I started my own business. Mm-hmm. Like, and even to this day, like, let me tell you, I sit on a lot of boards. Like, a lot of board of trustees, you know, I'm in a lot of rooms. And I still see people once in a while. They give you that. They look over and
raise an eyebrow.
Yeah, they look over like, oh, look at this guy. It's cool. Now you can't say nothing to me. But I'm like, guys, you're minorities. You're in an urban area. You're going for job interviews. Just wait. Like, what's the rush to put this on your arm at 18? Like, get situated. Like, you know, like, trust me, we could go through this all day because, like, the youth and me, like, this is the constant conflict. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I will say one thing. Are we ending? You have any other question before I'm going to give my last note or keep going?
No, go for it. Yeah.
So I have this one thing that I believe in that I think that it's a good way to live, and I think this is what people should do. It's real simple. A friend of mine, like, eight, nine years ago, we were out drinking. We went out, had a good time, went back to the resort in Arizona, and he was like, we had a bonfire. He was like, Siraj, how many times do you die? I was like, oh, damn, bro. This guy's going to throw me into the bonfire. Like, I'm a little tipsy. I'm like, what's happening here? I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, this just took a drastic change. And he was like, the reason why I say what I'm about to say is because this is what I live by. He said, no, for real, how many times you die? I said, once, man. Heart, that's it. Done. Stop breathing. Gone. He said, you die twice. I said, okay, break it down to me. He said, first time is when your heart stops, you know, you're clinically dead. That's it. I said, okay. I said, that's the only one I know. He goes, the second time you die is the last time someone on this earth says your name. Leave a legacy and you live forever. Mm. And the reason why I bring that up is, like I said, the Christie Care Center, it's in my mom's name. You go to the medical center, in the NIC unit, there's giraffes. It's in my brother's name. You go to the Green Apple Food Pharmacy that we opened up with the hospital, and it's in my brother's name and two of my friends, Jimmy and Eric, who passed away during COVID. So the reason why I say that is, if you notice, everything that I do, I don't put my name on it because I'm still here. Mm-hmm. But my loved ones still get spoken about every day when someone reads that. So the reason why I say that is to go back to the instant gratification. I'm not even doing that for myself now. Like, there's nothing that says this wing was dedicated by Siraj Kaufman. This thing was done by Siraj Kaufman. It's always, this was in Siraj, in Ellen Kaufman, in Mario Bajaj, in Omar Kaufman. So just to show, like, the information that I'm giving to people is not like, oh, he says one thing, but he does the instant gratification for himself. I don't. And that's what I think, because, like, I tell my kids all the time, like, yeah, you guys got big shoes to fill, because you better leave something with my name on it. Like, even if it's a dog, even if it's a fire hydrant, like, leave something so that, you know, when everybody walks by and walks their dog, oh, this is for Siraj, at least say my name. But I just think that, like, I just think that we could all do better as human beings, you know, being more helpful to each other, more kind to each other. And like, to be honest, man, I genuinely like HudPost because, you know, a lot of people see HudPost as the funny part, like where people scream out HudPost when there's something going on. Mm-hmm. I think it's so much more than that if you read into it, because it's a media firm that, you know, listen, you put out the stories that people send in, which is you're supposed to, because that's right away giving the readers what they want. Mm-hmm. But then you put out business spotlights. You put out community spotlights. You do a podcast like this where this is like, this is not the normal media podcast because there's no negativity.
Yeah.
We didn't have to come up with anything bad about either one of us. You didn't ask about any scandals to be like, hey, Raj, like, I heard about this. That's what I like, and I think that's what the world needs more of.
So thank you for that. Beautifully said. And I think that what we try to do over here at HudPost is push out the most positive things in our community.
Love it.
And stories, because there's so much negativity. And as a news outlet, we have to put out negativity, right? Because we wouldn't be doing our jobs.
But hold on. But it's so dope that you put out the other half, which is the positivity.
Exactly.
Because think about it. I do not watch the nightly news because it's all negative.
All negative, exactly.
I do not look at a newspaper because it's all negative. Like, you ever notice? There'll be the one story at the end of the broadcast for 1 minute. So-and-so did this. Okay, cool. Or even in the newspaper. Like, it's not until after the death notices that you read one positive community spotlight.
They saved the kitten from a tree, something like that. Like, just
it's,
one,
because it's just crazy to me. Like, I love to get to see that there are the negatives. Listen, you guys are very informative. Listen, half the time what goes on in Hudson County, I know because of you guys.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I also get to see, like, businesses like Burgerline. I get to see the coffee shops. I get to see the auto body shops. I get to see stuff like that, and I like it because that's what we don't see anymore. We only see the negativity, no positivity, no spotlights, no people trying to work together, and we get to see that side from you guys, which I think is commendable and remarkable on a media outlet. I know it's your post. I'm not trying to get here to, you know, to tell guys to watch HUD Post, but I just think it's great because, like, a lot of times I do interviews, and, like, let me tell you, man, like, the people that I'm doing the interview for, most of the time I do it for myself. Because I really don't really even care about that part of them. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's another thing that people see what I do to shine some light. This is one of the ones that I was actually, like, really excited and cool about because I'm like, yo, like, they do good stuff. Like, I like what they do. So it's like we can shine light together. Yeah. And I love that.
No, and thank you for being our first official guest because, you know, it's like you who you are in the community is exactly the kind of people we want to showcase and want to have on these podcast episodes moving forward.
Nice. Very nice.
You know, it's just we want – anybody who's doing something in Hudson County that's positive and powerful is, like, you know, is what we want to showcase.
But here. I was number one. Numero uno. One. Just saying it.
Man, so with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in. Siraj, thank you for coming through, man.
This was a pleasure. This was a lot of fun.
This was awesome. And guys, we will see you at the next one.
Did that shirt mean to match that radio in front of you, though? I gotta just ask, because you, like, got this, like, whole theme going on.
So this is my grandfather's shirt, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, he was fresh, man. He was fresh.
Okay. Damn, he just took my thunder off that one. I was trying to make a joke, and he brought it to the family legacy. Nah, thanks, Will. I appreciate you.
Thank you, man.